You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Yeah, I'm actually disappointed. Now, losing a game is something that I hate. It's something that I don't want to taste in my career. But saying that football, you know, anything can happen. Talking about the referee, I was really, really shocked that, you know, a game like this, you know, they'll allow a Mexican to, you know, be the center referee when we're playing against Mexico. I'm really, really surprised. I never knew about it until after the game that I heard that it's a Mexican-American. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. If you're Mexican, you're Mexican. And on top of it, we all saw his behavior on the pitch. And the surprising thing, you know, he used the F word against my one of my players. You know, and it's something that, you know, modern days, we don't need such reactions, you know, from a referee. I don't know who organized it, but under normal circumstances, we've got so many referees in America here, and I'm surprised that someone from Mexico should handle a Mexican game.
All right, and soccer is a conspiracy theory game. That was Ghana head coach James Apai at Energy Stadium post-match. Ghana lost 1-0 on a penalty kick to Mexico. It's pretty interesting that a coach comes out and is that strong on, you know, a Mexican refereeing a game that, or a Mexican-American refereeing a game. I think it's a little bit over the top based on the fact that it was a friendly. Then on the other hand, you could probably save yourself a lot of problems by not putting anybody linked to Mexico on the game as a referee, right?
No, it also shows the level of competitiveness from the head coach. You know, you want to have a setting where everything is neutral. You don't want a referee who's Mexican-American and might tend to lean to the Mexican side, especially in front of a pro-Mexico crowd like it was on Wednesday night at NRG. So it's acceptable. And of course, what is not acceptable is the way that the referee sort of interacted with Ghana players. I mean, you just can't do that kind of stuff at that level.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I didn't hear it. I haven't seen anything on you know, on social media or anything. I mean, maybe there's people talking about it. I don't know. The referee was Baldomero Toledo, who we all know from Major League Soccer. So that was Ghana coach James Apai. Talking about the refereeing over there. Are there any players that you would say, and I know you mentioned them again, the ones that you think potentially have a shot at going to a World Cup with Mexico?
Well, in this particular team that will participate in the Gold Cup, I think someone like Alan Pulido at the striking position is a name that resonates. One of the Mexican top goal scorers in Liga MX, I would say. And you have a midfielder like Rodolfo Pizarro. Eddie Gutierrez is another great midfielder. Cesar Montes, young center back from Monterrey. I think he'll also have a great opportunity to sort of impress. Jesus Gallardo, left winger from Pumas, who's 10. Well, Osorio likes to use him as a left back, but he's not a natural left back. He's sort of inverting him to that position. But he's advancing, he's progressing. Young left winger from Pumas there, Jesus Gallardo. And I think those are the names that really resonate, I would say. You still see veteran players like Corona in the goalkeeping position, Hugo Ayala, who is a center back in Tigres, also with a lot of
Moises
experience.
Muñoz.
Moises Muñoz from formerly at a club
from
America.
California.
Yeah, from Cali.
He could have been ours. Yeah. Now, speaking of that, yeah. Jesse Gonzalez now has switched allegiances back to the United States, the FC Dallas goalkeeper, who at one point wanted to represent and has represented, I believe, Mexico at the youth
nationals.
Levels.
Yeah, youth levels.
But now is switching to the United States. What do you think about that, and how do Mexican fans take that?
Well, look, as someone that covers the game, I want to get the context right, you know, and I like speaking to these type of players because they have specific cases. You know, being Mexican-American allows you to play for the U.S. or Mexico. With Jesse Gonzalez, it was a great, I would say, process with the sense that, you know, he played in the U-20 level. He also was almost in the Olympics in Rio. But
all right, welcome back to soccer.
The cut. You know, this is a guy that played in the youth, but, you know, he reaches a stage in his career where playing for the national team might allow him to go to Europe. Now, in the national team perspective right now in Mexico, there's a lot of veteran goalkeepers. They tend not to look at the young goalkeeping pack that's coming.
So maybe he's looking at the pecking order and saying, my path at my age, where I am now, is going to be better in the United States. Brad Guzan, Tim Howard getting a little bit older. There looks to be opportunity. I want to move quickly here because I know we're going to break, and I want to get this to you. Kubo Torres not being picked for the Gold Cup team, that's got to be a big blow, doesn't it?
It is, for the confidence, you know, especially after starting well the season. You know, he might be questioning what he must improve in order to be in the list, because there's actually a striker in the list right now, Angel Sepulveda, who's only scored 2 goals in the last season, basically. In the 2016-17 season that just happened, he only scored 2 league goals. And Kubo has already 11 with Dynamo. When you see those numbers don't make sense. Yeah. It's just maybe something that the coaches like about this certain Angel Sepulveda, Barragan, and Pulido.
They type of striker is Sepulveda?
He can play on the wing, which I think is the reason.
So it's a very different striker than Kubo.
Yeah, yeah. And Kubo is, you know, the central striker, the number 9 in the box. And I think that might be the reason why he's not in. But, you know, I think he's done well to improve his career after such a slow start, you know, with the Dynamo.
Naib, as always, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to take a break now, but thank you with all your great insight on Mexico, Liga MX, and football in general. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn, for having me, and always a pleasure to talk to you.
He's one of our best guests, Naib Maran of ESPN FC. We're going to take a break here. Reminder, Manchester United and Manchester City, the big derby is coming to Houston. InternationalChampionsCup.com. It's been a big year of sports here in Houston. It's going to get bigger this summer at Energy Stadium, July 20th. 8:30 p.m. Manchester United and Manchester City. Gold Cup is coming here. Group A doubleheader. 2014 World Cup, July 11th. Tickets at goldcup.org. Right now, the fourth caller gets a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Houston Dash Marcelo Balboa interview coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Reminder, coming up now, part two of Marcelo Balboa. Then we're going to have an interview with both AJ De La Garza and Tyler Derrick ahead of the Dynamo match in Colorado tomorrow. You can catch that on theCUBE. Quick word here for the gorgeous Gale. Get over to 5555 Morningside. All the best soccer and football matches. Pint and a bite. Whiskey offerings. Say hello to Peter. It's thegorgeousgale.com. Another reminder before we get into the Marcelo Balboa interview, Monday, 7 o'clock Central. We're back here with Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Here's part two, Marcelo Balboa. All right, let's flip gears here real fast into the Colorado Rapids against the Dynamo this weekend. Some players are going to be missing. The Rapids have got some real injury problems. How about some just general overall thoughts from your end on this matchup this weekend in MLS?
You know, I got to be honest. I'm going to be doing the USA Ghana game, but I was excited to see this game because I thought maybe both teams would be healthy and what Houston's been doing. Right now, after watching last night, Colorado end up with 9 players on the field because of 3 injuries. A 4th, Gashi, went off the field. Axel Schubert kind of went down. It looks like he re-aggravated the hamstring. Dylan Powers went out. Somebody with a groin, they're saying. So I think it could be an interesting match. I think it's going to test Colorado's depth now at home. You know, they've been pretty successful. I think 4 out of 5 they've won at home. They lost to L.A. out of the last 5, and they lost on the road to Atlanta. So I think if you look at Colorado's possible lineup this week, you could see a lot of younger players that are going to be filling roles that aren't normally getting time to play.
Marcelo, how did the Los Angeles Galaxy get it done there? And pretty convincing, 3-1. How did they get it done at altitude?
You know, I can't give you that, Glenn, because then Wilmer may hear this, and then he'll take advantage of that, and I can't give our secrets away. So, no, I'm kidding. You know what I think? It's the same thing.
You had me going for about 2 seconds, and I was just like, oh, man, another one we've lost.
You know, I think that they managed the game well. They let Colorado come. They slowed the pace down to make sure that they didn't get overly tired. Portland came in. If you watch the Portland game, Portland came out the first 4 to 5 minutes firing on all cylinders and put Colorado under the gun. The second 45 minutes, Glenn, they were dead. They defended for 45 minutes, and at the end, they couldn't hold off Alan Gordon. But they managed the game well. They knocked the ball. They took their time. They built it up. They took advantage of set pieces. They took advantage of situations of getting a ball across and putting it into a good area, and took advantage of a few little things that Colorado doesn't do well, and that's one-on-one defending in the box.
So obviously, a good night of possession is a prerequisite going into Commerce City in order to get a result there. And that at times has been a bit of a problem for the Dynamo. So that could be a real talking point going into this game. Set pieces you mentioned. And I did watch that Portland game. Yeah, that was unbelievable. Portland should have scored a second or third goal in the first half. And then, you know, Colorado's all over them in the second half. And you're trying to wonder if it's, you know, a combination of their attitude and the altitude.
I think a little bit of both. I think at times when teams come here, they come out and they press, and the next 45 minutes they kind of sit back. L.A., if you watch the game, L.A. did it in spurts. They pressed you for 5 or 6 minutes, and they dropped off 10, 15 minutes and knocked the ball, slowed the game down. Then they pressed you and dropped off. They were able to sustain that for 90 minutes. Plus, when they got their chances, Glenn, they took advantage of those chances. Portland did not take advantage of the chances they had. L.A. did and put the game away.
Yeah, good point. You get the chances, you do need to take them on the road, especially in a place like Colorado, where I always know that, and I remember this from our HDNet broadcast, you always said you thought that around the 65th, 70th minute, people would hit the wall with the altitude.
Yep, and they did. Look at Columbus. Columbus hit a wall. Alan Gordon scored in the late 80s, 88th minute, I think, someone there. You come back to Portland, they fatigued the last 20 minutes. Colorado was all over them, got their second goal, got another 3 points. So it's not the same Colorado team as last year. By any means is it the same team, but when you got a guy like Alan Gordon with 10 minutes to go, if you put the ball in the box, you know something's going to happen. He's going to create at least a chance if you put the ball in the right place, and I'm not mean just float it up there. You put it up there and let him attack the ball, something will happen.
Marcelo Balboa joining us here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Again, we remind you, Gold Cup tickets at www.goldcup.org, and then Manchester United, Manchester City, internationalchampionscup.com. Stylistically, Colorado, let's face it, they get criticized a lot. Did the fans embrace this style of soccer? I guess is the first part of a two-part question, and I'll ask you the second one in a minute.
I think last year we didn't play pretty soccer. And we just grinded out results. We defended, and we hit people on counterattacks. We defended. We took advantage of the set pieces. I'm not going to speak on behalf of the fans. I'll speak on behalf of myself. I'd love to see them play better soccer. I would love to see Colorado go out and get a 10, a pure number 10, a Laredo kind of player that can do things. An Higuain from Columbus, those kind of players.
Mauro Diaz.
Knock the ball. Diaz, you know, those kind of players. I think Sasha Kljestan, I'll tell you, those kind of players I would love to see here in Colorado in that 10 role, that creative role, that when you get someone that gets the ball, you're kind of on the edge of your feet as a broadcaster or you're a fan, you're on the edge of your feet waiting to see what he's going to do. And we don't have those kind of players. And I think that's what hurts us, because we're very slow build up. We knock it, we defend, we hit you quickly on the counterattack. And it's not really, I think, a style that a lot of people are interested in watching, and I would love to see. And I think there's a few teams that fall into that, not just Colorado. There's a few teams that fall into that stylistic, the way they play. But I think Colorado's missing a few players that are just creative and think differently than other players that can make different things happen.
Well, let me ask you this. The whole grind them out results, look, I know that has to happen in Major League Soccer. I don't think it's avoidable. But the whole, we got to grind it out every game. I'm just thinking that people want to be entertained now, and I'm looking at it from a different perspective. Atlanta United, they're not winning every game, but, man, they are exciting and fun to watch, right, because of a couple of players, quite frankly, way it's been assembled and an ideology. Is this old-school sort of grind-em-out result-type soccer, is this being sort of escorted out the door in Major League Soccer? I sure hope so, because I think this is as much about entertainment almost as it is about winning.
Yep. I'll say this. You know what? I applaud Atlanta United for coming into this league in saying we are going to put our money where our mouth is, because we told you we were going to buy exciting, entertaining players. And you know what? You're right, Glenn. They're not going to win every game, but damn, is it fun to watch them play every weekend and see how they attack and to see how creative their players are. So I do see that kind of style being, even Atlanta, watch them. They're not great defensively. They grind out defensively. They're grinding. They're getting back. They're fighting. It's a grind for them to defend. It's natural for them to go forward. And I do think that little by little, you're going to start seeing the teams that are putting some money behind their product not have to grind out results. They're going to control the games, and they're going to take advantage of that. Sure, are they going to win every game? No chance. No chance. But, man, I'll tell you what, I'll turn on the TV to watch Atlanta United any time because they're just exciting. Even Orlando this year is exciting to watch the way they go forward and attack. And they don't defend great, but it's okay. You know what I mean? I think people want to see that kind of soccer nowadays than the old school where everybody sat back. And if you watch, I mean, just an example, look at Confederations Cup, the first few games. Everybody kind of sat back on their kind of field, put 11 back there. And that's a huge international tournament. Here, I'd like to see teams open up a little more and go at each other.
Yeah, no, I think it's trending that direction. And I'm like you. I mean, I'll anytime I see Atlanta on Miguel Almiron, Josef Martinez, I'm there. I mean, those two guys alone will draw me to that game. And then there's a lot of other reasons why you want to watch Atlanta United as well. Is it becoming a league of haves and have-nots? In other words, these clubs that are coming into the league, I mean, $60 million practice facility for Atlanta, new stadium. They are very, very serious in every aspect, from resources to ideology about grooming their own players, getting into the world market of buying and selling. Is it becoming a league of haves and have-nots? Because we could categorize teams, couldn't we?
I think so. I think if you look at it that way, yeah. I think that the way soccer is evolving here in the United States, the way the fans are evolving in the United States, you know, back in the old days, people were not very knowledgeable about soccer. I think nowadays the fans are very knowledgeable about soccer and what it's about, what a system is, what teams are doing, and how they're playing. So, yeah, I do think that it's have and have nots, and I think that you don't want to be that team that gets left behind or that franchise that gets left behind, because I tell you what, the more you get left behind, the more money eventually you're going to have to spend to catch up to that. Because, listen, every team, it's a trend in MLS. Every team eventually within 3 or 4 years will have one good year. Can they win a championship that year or can they not? Who knows? But they'll have one good year. Look at, for instance, San Jose. And I'm so disgusted on how they treated Dominic Kinnear, on how they got rid of him. But they've had a few bad years. This year, they're moving up. They're playing better soccer. They're in a playoff race right now. And then you get rid of the coach. So, yeah, you know what? I think that you don't want to be that franchise that gets left behind.
Marcelo, as always, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on the program as usual. Have fun with the United States Ghana game. I'll be watching that one at some point, and I'll make sure I fill you in on the Dynamo at Colorado this weekend.
Please do, buddy. Take care, man.
All right. Talk to you soon. That's Marcelo Balboa, former U.S. international, also with Univision. Great interview with him there. Reminder, Gold Cup, you get your tickets at goldcup.org. Manchester United, Manchester City, it's internationalchampionscup.com, and let's take a break here. Best in Soccer Talk, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick reminder here for all of you out there. As host of Soccer Matters, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Summer's here. Get out on a patio. Get out to the pool. Go down to a Dynamo game. In fact, why don't you go down July 5th when the Dynamo take on Montreal? But most importantly, get your friends. Get an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of the Houston Dynamo and sponsor of Soccer Matters, Wednesdays at 7 Central. And joining us tonight, courtesy of HoustonDynamo.com, that's where you get your tickets, he is goalkeeper Tyler Derrick. Tyler, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, Glenn, thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a pleasure having you on. All right, let's just talk about the challenges going to Denver, Colorado tomorrow. And let's talk about the Rapids and at home. But I want to take you directly to altitude. And does that do anything to you, the movement of the ball? Does it come in at a bigger velocity? Is it a bit of a challenge for goalkeepers?
Yeah, you know, the first couple years going to Denver, playing games, you know, especially in reserve league, you know, you get adjusted to the altitude. I remember about 4 years ago playing in a reserve match, you know, I really noticed when like crosses were being swung into the box, you know, they carry about a foot or two, a little bit more, you know, they stay in the air a little bit longer. But for me to adjust, you know, I just got to keep my feet active and keep moving and keep adjusting to the ball. But, you know, I played in Denver a long time. You know, a lot of players here, they played international games. I know Adolfo played Panama in Denver. So, you know, we have a lot of players that are familiar with the altitude. And I think guys are excited to get out of this Houston heat, and we don't mind playing in altitude as long as it's not in the heat.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. You're getting out of the Houston heat. I like that. That's a great attitude. That being said, with the ball moving, is it always a point of contention from managers in your past when you go to Denver that they say, hey, don't be hesitant to shoot from longer range here because good things can happen with the altitude?
Yeah, you know, and I think Colorado, they know that. That's their home field advantage. But I think it's important for us to stop those shots coming into the box and stop those crosses coming into the box by getting pressure out in guys' faces. You know, it's a lot easier to deal with the cross whenever we have somebody get immediate pressure. You know, that either they put off the cross a little bit or they just deny the cross.
Joining us, Tyler Derrick of the Houston Dynamo. Are you getting the sense, Tyler, that the last couple of games on the road, things are coming together? You're getting so close to getting that first road win.
Yeah, you know, the team wants it. We're desperate for it. We know it'd be a big monkey off our back to finally get those 3 points on the road. You know, we've had really good performances on the road, and that's the confidence that we're building as a team, especially in the Los Angeles game. You know, I thought we were really unlucky to come out of there without 3 points. But, you know, they're all learning moments for us. And, you know, we're building in confidence on the road. We know how to play. We're learning, and I think the team's in good spirits heading to Colorado this weekend.
Yeah, it seems to be trending upward in your last road games. Since you got the Atlanta one out of your system, it does seem to be trending up. And, by the way, in Atlanta, I thought the game plan was good because the line that you pressured from led to some early chances. And who knows, if you guys had scored first in Atlanta, the game takes a completely different course.
Yeah, you know, but we're not going to leave those things up to referee decisions or anything that happens off the field. We're just worried about our game and what we're responsible about and what we can control. And I think you're right. You know, we had great chances early on, and mm-hmm. Maybe we put one of those away. It's a different match, but you can't go back and look back and think, what if? But, you know, we're learning from a lot of those games, especially the Atlanta game. You know, when you get knocked down like that, you know, you got to look at yourself. And I think this team, we've done a really good job of staying composed and keeping it real about, you know, what our realistic goals are and how we're playing and our form. You know, I think we're always hungry to improve. And this team, you know, we're always looking to try and get better every single week.
As a back four, it's a game of measurement sometimes. You know, where your last line of defense is, how far up the field you might try to squeeze the game. We also know that the Colorado Rapids have a real threat in behind defenses in Dominic Badji. Now, how much is this interaction between you and your back four? I mean, are there times you're telling them to drop slightly? Talk about the communication between you and a back four, because you do have to contend with a guy that does have the pace to get behind defenses.
Yeah, you know, I think there was a moment at the end of our last game where I think our line, we were a little bit too deep at times. And, you know, I just quickly had a word with Leo, and then he went over and had a word. I told him to go over, and he had a word with Adolfo and AJ. And then I went over and had a word with Dylan, and we just talked about, you know, getting that line up. It was just a quick throw-in, and we had a little bit of a quick moment there, and we just had to tell the line to get up a couple more, about 10 more yards, just because we're sitting a little bit too deep and giving them space. And but the guys, you know, they were realizing that Dallas was just attacking, and they were putting balls over the top, so they were sitting back a little bit. So they were just being worried, but they knew at that point that it was time, once balls were about to be played, that if we were going to drop, then we had to drop quickly and get in a good position, but we just couldn't be sitting back all the time.
Tyler Derrick joining us here on ESPN 97.5. We appreciate that. The Dynamo on the road against the Colorado Rapids tomorrow, and Tyler's going to be a big part of this. Just speak a little bit about set pieces, because that is one of the threats of Colorado. They've only scored 15 goals, but it is one of the areas they put an emphasis on. How do you think you guys have defended set pieces this year?
Yeah, you know, I think every week, you know, it's a different opposition and they're putting different crosses in the box. But, you know, I think guys, they're tuned in. You know, they're not taking corner kicks off or anything. They're getting focused on what their responsibility is and who they're marking. I think Kubo Torres has done an absolute wonderful job on that space right on the front post, you know, getting flicks on balls, attacking crosses coming in. He's been huge, and especially once he does clear that ball, you'll see him. He'll sprint up the field, and he's a striker, and he's sprinting up the field to do his defensive responsibility, and he'll cut off a pass that's going to go back out to the guy who took the corner kick. But, you know, I think with Wilmer especially coming in this year, you know, he's made an emphasis on where he wants his line to be, the defensive line, and that we're going to be very difficult to beat on set pieces.
Back forward seems to continue just to grow and mesh together and get better as it goes along. Is that the same sentiment you feel?
Yes, for sure. You know, we brought in everybody in the back line's new this year except for Bees, but, you know, Bees, we got one of the, in my opinion, he's the best U.S. soccer player of all time playing in our back four, you know, and he's a great leader in our team, and he leads by example. You know, he's been to 4 World Cups, but he's the hardest working guy, and he's the smartest working guy on the field. So a lot of people can learn from him. And, you know, Leonardo and Adolfo, they've been great center backs. You know, I thought they have a fantastic pairing. They hit it off really well in preseason. And AJ, he's coming in and done a fantastic job. You know, the guy's resume speaks for himself. And, you know, he's a great guy off the pitch. And you can see why the teams he's always on have been successful, because he is a great leader.
You know something? You're the first person who's ever said he's the greatest. And I think part of the reason why that might not be said more often is because he's a left back.
Yeah, you know, Donovan, and he was in the class of Donovan and a lot of those guys.
For sure.
And Donovan got all the goals. And, you know, Glenn Donovan's a great player, but in my opinion, the stats that DeMarcus has and the games that he played, you know, Bruce Arena trusted him in that Mexico game to start him because he knew what he could get from DeMarcus Beasley. And so I think he's the best U.S. soccer player we've ever had.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. He could be, if he goes to this World Cup, along with Lothar Matthäus, and I would have to think Rafa Márquez will go for Mexico. Those would be the only 3 field players to play in 5 World Cups, which is just, it's hard to even believe. Tyler, last one before I let you go. You know, your game's always an evolution, and different managers want different things out of goalkeepers. From a distribution standpoint, what does Wilmer Cabrera want from you?
Yeah, you know, that was a big learning curve for me. You know, in preseason, you know, he made it very clear about what he wanted for my distribution, and it was a little bit of adjustment time for me on my part. But you know, it's very clear. You know, and I'm excited the way Wilmer plays. He puts a lot of trust in his players and what he wants. You know, if I get a ball and it's on 1v1, 2v2, with especially Rommel and Albert, you know, he wants me playing that ball and getting in behind because they got the pace and they got the ability. And, you know, it's always fun whenever I get to kind of let loose a little bit and hit some peaches out there, out to the wingers and try and get an assist or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting for you because essentially you're the playmaker at that point.
Yeah, you know, we take a lot of, we spend a lot of time on the field, you know, practicing those passes, and I'm just waiting for one of these to come off one of these games.
I'm sure it will. Tyler, listen, we wish you the best of luck in Denver. Get that first road win. We're hoping for it. We're looking forward to calling this one on the Cube, and have a great performance out there. Thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Glenn. Take care, bud.
All right, that's Tyler Derrick. It's great stuff from him ahead of the Dynamo in Colorado Rapids. As we go to break, a quick moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-4878. Doesn't matter what type of accident you're in, you might need a lawyer. Industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler, they're bilingual. John and his firm will handle your case. Daspit Law Firm, you know, they're going to treat it like it's their own. Their firm works 24-7. They'll fight for your right for compensation. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. My thanks to John and his firm for keeping soccer on the radio. We'll take a break.
ESPN. 97.5. Please stand by. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here for the Gold Cup. It returns to Houston. Group A doubleheader at BBVA Compass Stadium. Honduras will take on French Guiana. We'll see Albert Elise and Romel Kyoto there, Bonia Garcia. And in the same day, 2014, World Cup sensation Costa Rica, the Ticos going head-to-head with Canada. Tickets as low as $30. Get yours today at goldcup.org. July 11th, BBVA Compass Stadium. Goldcup.org for your tickets. Gold Cup, only one champion. Great segue into a guy that's had an outstanding year at right back for the Houston Dynamo. One of the key acquisitions in the offseason. He's A.J. De La Garza. He joins us now. A.J., thank you very much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's off to Colorado. It's on to take on the Colorado Rapids. The road, it just seems as though I get the sense it's going to happen soon. It just seems like every game you take a step towards earning some points on the road, as in three.
Yeah, I think the last couple road games we've definitely, you know, earned ourselves more points than even what we've gotten. So, you know, a good opportunity this weekend in Colorado to go against a team that is at the bottom of the table, and we want to keep those teams out there and not give them anything to jump inside of that red line.
Yeah, I'm thinking for the Colorado Rapids, the next two games are huge. I mean, if you guys produce a win in Colorado, it's quite a body blow to them. There are challenges there, though, and I always hear this same thing very consistently, AJ, that you get around the 65th, 70th minute and the altitude does become a problem. Do you find that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're not playing for Colorado, it takes a toll on you. You can feel it in the warm-ups, but you just got to catch your second wind. So you want to get a good run out and warm-ups just to kind of get that first, like, shock, you know. And then after that, hopefully you feel better and good. And but, yeah, there's definitely, you know, something there.
Do you have to play a little bit more economically when it comes to the type of running you do and the choices maybe you make? Are those choices maybe different in Denver because of that? Because you're kind of thinking, you know, number one, I got to get through this game, but I got to get through it in a way that I can be effective.
Yeah, that's always something in your mind, the back of your head, especially in altitude. And even, you know, last week in that heat here in Houston, it's, you know, what can I do to be effective, you know, and not run around with my head cut off. So, yeah, you got to, you know, pick and choose, you know, when you go forward and when you make those runs. So, you know, I'm not a guy this season who has gotten forward too often just because of the way our playing style is. But, you know, more importantly, especially in this game this weekend, it's, you know, picking those moments when I need to go and support the attack.
Dynamo right back. A.J. De La Garza joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Ahead of the Houston Dynamo Colorado Rapids tomorrow night, you can catch the game on the Cube. We'll do a pregame show there as well. Let's talk about the back four because, you know, it was not an area of stability the last couple of years, and it certainly seems very stable right now. Seems like you guys have, you know, after kind of getting it going early in the season, it seems like you guys have really blended together well and are playing as a group of four.
Yeah, and we're still, you know, not even close to where we want to be. You know, we've only had, I think, two shutouts this season, and, you know, that's unacceptable for us as a unit. But saying that, we're a group of guys who are, you know, kind of all new, except for me and Leonardo. We obviously know one another, but, you know, the rest of us with the goalies and the guys in front of us, we're all playing together for the first time, and defensively is the hardest part in communicating, you know, and just knowing what the person next to you is going to be. So, you know, we're still learning every single day in training and games. And, you know, it takes more than, you know, 17 games than it's been so far. It takes years to really get that down. So I think we're moving in the right direction, but that's definitely the area that, you know, our team needs to get better at.
AJ, you've been doing this a long time. I see you as a guy that is very, very professional in the way you go about your business, but I also see you as a guy that enjoys just walking out on the field every single night. Tell me about the passionate side of the game and just being able to put on a uniform as you're getting on in your career now. Do you relish the moments a little more? Do you look at it a lot differently than you did when you were a young guy breaking in, trying to make your mark in MLS?
Yeah, I think you never know when your last game is going to be. You know, everyone hears that, but it's true. And I go out every game and just enjoy playing. You know, obviously you can't do it for your entire life, and eventually I'll be sitting behind a desk. So for right now, I'm enjoying being on the field with my brothers, really, and sharing the moment with my family and my kids.
Now, Los Angeles, you were back there, and I'm sitting here thinking while I'm watching the LA game, and you're back in Los Angeles. All those great years, the cups, the success, everything you've done there. And now you're back in Los Angeles. What kind of went through your mind that night playing against your former team and in LA and going back there? Was that sort of an emotional night for you? Because I would imagine it would be.
You know, I don't know if it was, you know, too emotional for me. First and foremost, I wanted to beat them. You know, and then obviously the way that game ended was a bit of a heartbreaker and disappointment. But you know, when I'm on the field and in between those white lines, everything outside is kind of gone. You know, when there was a stoppage of play, I remember one time, you know, hearing the LA Galaxy chant, and I was like, I kind of forgot, you know, that I'd been away and now playing for the Dynamo. So you know, that was a little weird, but. You know, nothing too strange and not any real emotions. Maybe just ticked off emotions at the end of the game.
How do you like Houston now that you've had a couple months here? I mean, outside of soccer, for your family life and everything as a city, it's obviously very different than Los Angeles. How do you like it?
We love the city. You know, we get downtown quite often. There's a bunch of things to do with my daughter and my wife, and we enjoy taking pictures in front of art walls when we were in LA, and we have that here as well in Houston. So we just try to find different walls to go in front of, and there's a whole bunch of indoor play places, and I'm glad they're indoors for my daughter and I. So, you know, we're adjusting well, and we were excited about the move after the first couple initial hours of shock for when I was traded. But, you know, we're enjoying life and adapting pretty well.
And then about training and everything with the humidity and the heat here, how long did it kind of get you to take to get adjusted to this, where you felt kind of comfortable dealing with the elements here?
You know, that's a topic of discussion.
Well, you may never. I mean, maybe nobody ever does, but.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got guys who have been here for, you know, 10 years, and after the game this weekend, which was, you know, top three hottest games of my career, you know, saying that you never really get used to that. And I don't think you do. I think you learn, you know, obviously, again, when to run and make your marks and how to be effective in 90 minutes. But, you know, it's hard. You know, you step outside and it just hits you in the face. So, you know, we all got to just take care of our bodies in this heat and, you know, try and do that. And I think we'll be fine, and you know, some people say it's an advantage playing here against teams that aren't used to it, but both teams are playing in heat and humidity, and it hampers you, and you know, hampers your ability to run and to move and to focus. You know, I'm getting used to it. It's going to take some time, but like I said, the last game was definitely one of the hottest games of my career. That's the first.
You've played with a lot of great managers. We're talking to A.J. De La Garza here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Bruce Arena, obviously. What type of manager is Wilmer Cabrera? And he's obviously doing some things great here this year, revamping this team and what we've seen him done and the things he's tried. But what type of manager do you consider him to be like?
Well, I think he's someone who gets the most out of his players. I mean, you see Kubo, I use him as a example. The last 2 years, he hadn't scored a goal. You know, and Wilmer comes in and kind of gets on him to be a player that he used to be, and knowing how good, you know, he could be. And now you see Kubo at the top of the charts in goals, and you know, holding balls up for us is good, and combining. So. He knows the players that he has, Wilmer has, and he's using us in a system, you know, that's effective for us. He knows we're not a possession-oriented team, and with the guys from, you know, different countries and different playing styles, and he's getting the most out of his players right now.
AJ, when I look at the Colorado Rapids, I see three areas. Obviously, set pieces. Obviously, the pace of Bodgy with Kevin Doyle dropping in is, I guess the trendy word is a false nine, but a guy that a withdrawn forward that can play make, and we've seen them score goals like that against Portland. How aware do you guys have to be of the pace of Bodgy, the playmaking of Doyle, because that seems to be one of their main weapons. Obviously, Alan Gordon, your ex-teammate off the bench, is a late challenge in the air. But let's talk about and focus in on Doyle and Bodgy, that combination.
Yeah, we know how good they are. Obviously, Bodgy likes to get in behind and make those runs between the lines. And you know, Kevin Doyle, he likes to drop in and get the ball. And you know, you got Gad out wide and just a bunch of good quality players. And you know, sometimes you haven't seen that this year, and then sometimes you have. So somewhat of an inconsistent team. You know, but at home and a team that just lost this weekend in Open Cup, and I believe their last MLS game, they're looking to get points. So it's going to be a tough game, you know. And in MLS, the craziest thing is, you know, the bottom team can beat the top team any time of day. So we have to be aware of that. And like I said, we have to keep the teams that are outside of the playoff race outside. And the Western Conference games are our biggest games, so we have to get 3 points and hopefully the first win on the road.
When talking about getting that first win, is that something that kind of looms over you guys in the locker room? I know there's a lot of cliches in sports. No, we're not paying attention to it, just game by game. But does that loom over you that you're one of a couple of teams that still have yet to win on the road?
I think it's in the back of our head. You know, especially late in games when you're winning and then, you know, you have a collapse like we did in L.A., it's tough. We deserved more in that game. We deserved more in the Seattle game, I thought. We've had our chances in games, but we just got to keep our head down and keep working hard. We're still halfway through the season and we're in second place, so we're not doing too bad, I can say that. So we're a team that has definitely lost some points, but you look around the league and you can't tell me another team that can't say that they've lost a good amount of points this year. So we got to continue to work hard and believe in what we're doing on the road and at home, and you know, things will start falling for us.
AJ, as always, thank you very much for being so gracious with your time. We appreciate you coming on the program tonight.
No problem.
All right, that's the one and only AJ De La Garza, Dynamo right back, Dynamo in action against the Colorado Rapids tomorrow night. You can catch the game on Cube 57. Plus, you get your tickets for the Houston Dynamo over at HoustonDynamo.com. Next game will be the Montreal Impact. And a quick word here, as host of Soccer Matters, I remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Summer's here. Get out on a patio. Get out to the pool. Come out to a Dynamo game. Listen to this show every Wednesday night at 7 Central. But most importantly, grab your friends and add an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of the Houston Dynamo and sponsor of Soccer Matters Wednesdays at 7 o'clock Central on ESPN 97.5. That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A reminder here, if you want an Irish pub with an Irish feel, Gorgeous Gale is the place for you. Head over to Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Catch all the best soccer matches there. Stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offering. Say hello to my friend Peter. Again, it is the Gorgeous Gale. It's the place to be. TheGorgeousGale.com, official pub of Soccer Matters. For Tyler Scott, I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. It's the best in soccer talk, always here on ESPN 975. ESPN 97.5.